You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast, and I'm John Rabin. This podcast is me. I'm your host slash feature slash headliner slash focal point for the next 30 minutes. Sorry. Welcome to my ego project, a podcast. This is episode 143. Fancy. I hope you're doing all right. Hope you're looking out for yourself, looking out for your health and the benefit of your loved ones and the people you care about and your family and blah, blah, blah. If you're a sober person, hope you're staying sober. If you're not a sober person, hope you're staying sane. Hope you're in control, because it's there's a nice feel. Well, it's not nice, but there is definitely this feel in the country that it's like it's almost over, the pandemic and COVID and everything. So let's, you know what? I can't wait anymore. I'm going out. We're all going out. It's done. You know, it's done, right? You know, the things you tell yourself. Yeah, no, it's like, you know, what is it? 10 to 20% of the country's been vaccinated. That's good enough, right? Meanwhile, in Europe, Poland, Germany, and France are all like shut down because they're getting hit by a third wave. But here we're like, nah, we've not learned our lesson at all. Anything that happens over there doesn't eventually come over here. No, no, no. Let's all go to Florida. It is spring break after all. So yeah, it's like, I feel it. Like, I feel it as well. I'm also that I have that feeling of it's almost over for me personally, at least. I can't wait to do stand up again. Start looking at shows that, you know, and there's all these comedy shows here in Austin, and 90% of them are run like shit with no safety in mind. So it's like, oh, like, I hope that changes. But just kind of knowing that I need to wait it out. I'm like, no, be patient. You know, I've come this far. I am not going to get fucked up and sick at the tail end. You know, like, just because it's a year, like, you start getting antsy. I get it. But it's like, you should probably just keep on keeping on, right? Here's the thing about, so last week, I went this whole thing about ethic, about how unethical it is to line jump, which is basically, you know, you don't qualify. And you just kind of stretch the truth in questions to try to get through to get the vaccine. And it's, you know, and how weird it is, because ultimately, if it's unethical and, you know, selfish, it eventually, you know, it actually helps the greater good eventually. How unethical is it? All that stuff. And I was talking about it because I was on this fence here, and I was just sitting there going, what, you know, do I, you know, I, you know, because you get a little FOMO because people are posters like, I got vaccinated. And you're like, you're 28, you know, and healthy. And, you know, you don't smoke, like, it's all this stuff. And you start thinking, well, do I do it and stuff? And I, you know, I recorded that. And the day after I recorded it, they opened up, Texas goes, yeah, phase 1C can get the vaccine, which I qualify for. Because according to the CDC guidelines is smokers are in 1C. So it's like, wow. So I went through this whole internal debate via podcast last week for no fucking reason. It's like, all right, well, I guess get in the process of trying to be vaccinated. Which is also, you know, I haven't had any discussions with people on this, but I have seen the discussion online about vaping. And it's like, yeah, but vaping's not really smoking. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I don't comment online anymore. I don't get into any kind of debates. Somebody says some nasty whatever. I would rather have somebody DM me, message me, and they have to listen to the podcast first. If somebody doesn't like something that I said because on a promo clip or whatever, it's like, first of all, you got to listen to the podcast. After you listen to the whole podcast, then we can have a discussion, but you got to message me. We're not going to do some kind of public look at me and my virtuous ass and my comment. Give me likes, everyone. Validate it. But, you know, you can message me, right? But it's funny to me that all of a sudden now you don't think vaping is like smoking. Like before, it's like, it's the same thing. You guys have to follow the same rules as smoking. It's all nicotine. It's in the, you got to vape outside. Why? Because it's, you know, we consider it smoking. But when it comes to, you know, somebody getting in front of you in line, is like, you know what? It's not smoking now. It's like, oh, now it's not smoking. Okay. And like, it reminds me of, you remember several years ago, there were people who got offended that, because they went to the doctor and the doctor called them obese and they said that was fat shaming, that their doctor was fat shaming them. Their doctor, not some asshole on Twitter, a doctor who they paid for their health, you know. I'm wondering now, is it like, now do they consider themselves obese? Is it like, you know, I'm not, you know, do not body shame me, doc. A couple years later, I'm obese. I need the vaccine. Oh, now. If I was that doctor and I was administering vaccines, I'm like, oh, now you are. Now you are? Right. All right. Can you admit it? I'm going to get this on video. This is why I'm not a doctor. Also, I didn't go to school for it. Also, it's not a passion of mine. There's several reasons why I'm not a doctor. That's another matter, I guess. Man. Real quick, and I'm not going to go into this too much because I checked their site. There's this organization here in Austin, Texas, and I don't know how big they are, what they actually do. But they have a really dumb name. It's like an income. Their organization's name is an incomplete sentence, which bothers me. But it's kind of superficial because they represent, you know, what they want. They want good things, but their name is Austin is safer when. ... That's their name. And, you know, they've got a lot of items that they want to push for. You know, they want COVID testing, PPE, and treatment. They want to make it, you know, off. So it's like, I believe that Austin is safer when Black Lives Matter, behavioral health crisis is met with healthcare, people are housed, COVID testing and treatment is accessible, police don't brutalize protesters. So they've got a whole list, right? And it's a long list. Like, they are taking on everything. And it's like, all right. This is just kind of this, which always makes me suspect of stuff, because when you just, like, in general, taking on all the, you know, here's every way that I think the world is broken, and our organization will tackle it. Well, good luck. And the reason that I'm bringing them up is because they had those door handle flyers. And somebody was going around door to door, and I guess they wanted to discuss it, because instead of just leaving the flyer, which would have been fine and made me go in a positive way, go, oh, let me look this up. Instead, the dude who was passing him around was knocking on doors, ringing doorbells. So I guess was going to have a discussion and promote the organization. So we were taking a nap because it was Saturday afternoon. So it's like, man, this is a great time for a nap. Rings the doorbell. I don't get up. The dog starts barking. But I don't get up because it's like, okay, they rang it once. Maybe it's Amazon. Amazon doesn't ring the bell anymore. Maybe it's some delivery guy. Maybe UPS still does that. They haven't caught up with the world of hey, don't disturb me. I don't know. So I'm just like, all right. The guy rings the doorbell again. Twice. Yeah, Austin is safer when you don't ring my doorbell twice. How about that? And also, that's why you don't name your organization something that can be mocked easily. Austin is safer when you leave me the fuck alone. That's when it's safer. Someone is going to come at you, bro. You ring the doorbell twice? Who rings a doorbell twice? If it's urgent, you're knocking. Like, they heard it. It's a one-bedroom apartment. I heard the doorbell. If we're home and we don't, you think I'm going to open the door for the second one? Yeah, the second doorbell rang. I went to the door all right to double lock it and then close the drapes. How's that for? Is that a big enough sign for you to walk away? Good Lord, man. I will mock them on one item because they've got a bunch of things on their. And if you're curious, you can Google it and go, and you can probably give me shit about it and go, this is actually a pretty good organization, John. Yeah, but I'm being superficial about it because they woke me from my nap. One of the things they want to do is they want rape kits and other evidence to be handled by scientists. Scientists? Like what, in general? How many scientists do you know? Isn't that odd? Like, who do they think is handling it now? It's like specialists, people who've been trained. Why? How about like trained professionals? Scientists. Just in general. Oh, just scientists. You're a scientist, right? Yeah, but I'm a botanist. No. We need you to collect evidence from a crime scene. Because we trust you better than somebody who's been trained in forensics. Scientists. That's just some weird. I don't even know what to say, man. That's just anyway. This is me mocking something because I got woken from a nap. This is not. Do not take this that seriously. But also, it's kind of a bad name. Don't ring a doorbell twice. Ultimately, is where I'm getting at. It has nothing to do with politics or sociological matters. It has everything to do with don't ring my doorbell again. I'm just going to disconnect it, I swear. All right, I got to talk about this thing that I hope I can. And talking shit about it eventually by the end of the podcast, I make it positive? I don't know. I don't mention my email enough because I figure it's on the website. But the email for this podcast is stillsoberpod@gmail.com. And I have the email for people who want to who have questions, who just want to reach out. I always advise, hey, don't send me negative crap because I probably won't read it. Or I'll stop reading halfway and just archive. Thank you, Gmail. But it's there. And the thing is that I have received emails from people who are just like, hey man, keep doing, you know, you keep being you and all this stuff, and just I found this interesting, thought you might want to see it. But ever so often, I get promotional emails by companies who are trying to promote guest speakers. And they're like, hey, this person would be a great guest for your podcast. And I always read it and go, hey, he'd be the first guest of my podcast because I don't have them. But clearly you don't know that. This is one of those. And I will change the name just to because it's not necessary. And also I like to use the name Gary from one of my former coworkers. In an old job I had, as many of you listeners would know, the shut up, Gary, is just a great phrase. So I'm going to say his name's Gary. All right. Hello. This is the email. I'm not just losing my mind. Hello. I would like to bring your attention, Gary, as a potential guest for your podcast. Gary is a business... That's what they said. Gary is a business. Gary is a business and life coach. Great. 9 years ago, he woke up in a drunk tank, cold in and alone, after a night of partying. This is when he decided to check himself into a meaning and purpose-based recovery program. I think his insights could make for a very interesting interview that would resonate with your audience. Do you? His insight in spending just a couple of hours in a drunk tank? Yeah. He was almost late for work the next day. Tragic. That's when he knew he hit rock bottom. He spent a night in jail and was fined almost $250. His life was in shambles. It was probably a weekend. He probably didn't have to work the next day. He had a headache. He hit bottom. What an interesting story. I can't wait for the memoir. What? Look, I know you're not necessarily... It's not necessarily productive to judge other people in recovery, but I'm going to because I find it entertaining. It's not really like, but there is this level, like, you know, alcoholics and drug addicts in recovery, we don't do it out loud, but when we hear people's story shared, let's say in a meeting, right, or you read about it, you kind of, you always tend to compare yourself to them and go, oh, that was worse. Because in our mind, we do compete. You can ask any heroin addict if they think that their drug is the most deadly or the best. I've been clean and sober for 8.5 years. I've been off of heroin for even longer than that. And I still, like... Yeah, I'm like, yeah, heroin's the best. I mean, it's the worst, but it's the best. Like, it's that's still in your head. It's still there. So it's always there. And, you know, it's unnecessary. It's like, you know, I still remember going to a meeting where the guest speaker had one DWI. And the person running the meeting after they spoke said, just be glad that you only ha-. And I was just sitting there going, one? And then the person running the meeting, chairing the meeting, was like, "Hey, just be glad you didn't hit, you know, two DWIs." You know, and people chuckled. And in my head, I was in the back of the room going, "Just two DWIs," you know, as the three-peat in the back. But so that's always there. That being said, this is goddamn ridiculous that anybody would take one night in jail and build their entire identity as a life coach because they spent a few hours in the drunk tank. Not overnight. They let you go before morning. Like in the morning. Like, just like, all right. you know. And then you get fined the same amount as if you took a shit in the park. Like, it's, you know, it's really, it's not the end of the world. I mean, I'm glad that he's like, oh, I gotta slow down. But let's see. It's just I saw this meme once that showed like this staircase, and you know, and each step was like making amends. Like one of the steps was like making amends. Another one was like finding inner peace and sobriety. And then the steps at the top, the two steps were becoming a life coach. And then the next step was writing a memoir. And the person is stepping over all of the steps to get to the life coach step. And that's what I thought of when I saw this, because the email was sent to me by somebody from Talk Plus Tell. And Talk Plus Tell is a company that makes money off of people convincing people that they can help them publish their book and get it out there to more people and make them best-selling authors through promotions with poorly written grammar, apparently, and just trying to push them. So this guy is not just a life coach. He signed with them because he's definitely promoting a book. And man, what a boring ass memoir would that be? A third of the book is about him growing up as a kid. You know, hey, I was just like everybody else. Chapter 7. The night I went to jail for 4 hours. You know, bottoming out. I went to rehab. You went to rehab. You went to rehab after one PI arrest. I'm sorry. Sorry, everyone. Not that I don't believe him, but also it's just like life coach. Life coach and a memoir. I've always thought when I see that people write memoirs for being a heroin addict, I'm like, how the fuck do you remember what went on? If I was going to write one, I would be like, it would be called I don't rememoir, because I don't remember shit. It's just a big blur. It's kind of hard to write, you know. Even if I remembered, it'd be like, and I stayed home again. Heroin's not a social drug. Yeah, man, I don't. That's the thing. Life coaches are bullshit, right? Can we just sit there and call it for what it? Here's why life coaches don't work. Because you're dealing with one person and one point of view. I think one of the benefits of doing meetings is you hear from a lot of people talking. And yeah, it can be depressing, but a lot of times when you hear from multiple people, somebody's going to say something that you get out. That's the whole point of a meeting, is you, several people talk and you can come out of that meeting and you got one thing, you know, one thing from it. Even if you get one little thing from one person, other people make you uncomfortable. It's like, Jesus, man, depressing story. But you'll get one thing from it and that'll help you, because multiple people spoke. And, you know, there is a chance that, you know, a life coach can help somebody on an individual basis. But you're basically talking about from one point of view, from somebody who is not a professional. They became a life coach because they didn't want to continue education to become licensed, licensed therapist. Or clinical psychologist or psychiatrist or counselor for like recovery. They're like, I want to cash in without having to pay for school and learn things. And it's like, my perspective is very, and you know what? I've thought this same shit. I've thought about writing a book I've thought about being a life coach. Of course, I thought that like in year two of being sober. That was one of those things like, and it's because the problem with it is that it comes from this ulterior motive of, do you want to help people, or is it more of, I could turn this into a career. I could make money off of this. And that really just kind of shines through. It really just kind of leaks through with the life coach thing to me. It's like people who write books on, you know, how to make money, but it's not written by somebody who has money. It's written by somebody who made money off of writing books about how to become successful. You know what I mean? It's never a self-made. People who are like self-made don't ever become, you know, I guess some of them become like motivational speakers because they retired and it's like, hey, maybe I can make a little bit of money and talk. Like there's those people, but then there's the motivational speakers that became successful just by speaking. And it's like, you could be, you know, and it's just like, you can't teach charisma. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So shut up, Gary. I don't think I'll be having Gary on the podcast. So can you describe your 180 minutes behind bars? I'd love to hear it. Sounds horrible. I guess my point would be, if you're considering, I mean, yeah, let me reiterate. I also thought about how could I cash in on the life coach thing. And luckily for me, I was supremely annoyed by the idea of it, by what other people were doing, and just, you know, then the process and all this other stuff. And it's like, oh man, that's, you know, it's just, you have to really be true to, you know, you have to really be conscious of, why do I want to do this? Do I really, is this about helping somebody, or is this about me? And if it is about me, then why don't I do something that I want to do? Not that what I think is going to be successful. And that's why I enjoy doing this, is because I enjoy it. So I want to do. I want to talk shit. I want to occasionally bring up something that I think is good or dumb. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to do it, you know, and I'll have people, you know, and it doesn't matter to me if people listen or don't. I mean, it does, but it doesn't, you know, I'm going to do it regardless. I hope people enjoy it. I do. If you've come this far, you've enjoyed it. Or you're annoyed by me and it's like, you got to keep going. I don't know. Whatever it is. Thank you. But yeah, I think that's another thing about, you know, that email. What's funny is that email reminded me of a positive aspects about going to meetings. Because I always think about the negative about like, man, I don't want to waste an hour being depressed. But if you're looking for something from motivation, the best way to do that is you go through different voices and different points of view. It's like, I can't be a life coach. What am I going to tell people? You know, let me tell you what works for me. First, you got to go to jail for months. Go to jail for months. You got to screw up a lot to get to that point because they'll just put you out on probation. But you got to screw up that too. Come on, this is the way. No, you just have different points of view, you know, different things are going to work for different people. So it's like, well, how did you get this far? What happened here? How'd you get this perspective? It's just nice to hear from different people, and you don't have to do a meeting for that, but it definitely beats having one person go, let me tell you what I think, you should do. I didn't go to school. But I did watch an online, class. I watched a master class about being a life coach. I paid almost $100 for. That's my training. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you. Thanks for joining me this week. I hope you have a good week, and I hope you enjoy some sun out there, those of you who are not being inundated with bad weather. Get out, get some fresh air. We'll see you next week. This is the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Raven. Later. By the thorn that pierces your skin, come back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone line. Gotta get away, gotta get away, get away, gotta